Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to a sunny but kind of pretty day out there, actually, because the sun is shining and it's beautiful snow. But that means for me, I'm at home talking to you because, hey, we have no activity on our roads out here. So I'll just enjoy being cooped up. And I did do some cooking and baking yesterday when we also were snowed in, but also received a phone call asking about paraffin and candy. This person was looking at some recipes, wanting to use some recipes from his grandma, and some of them called for paraffin. So why paraffin? And I'm guessing some of you listening probably know about that, maybe have done that in the past. So that went made me go on a search for paraffin recipes, and then that just moved me on to kind of other changes in food and home and recipes. Back to the paraffin in candy. Well, it could have been used for several reasons. One, it might thin chocolate so that it would be a little easier to use for coating. But the end result might also be that the finished product would be a little harder, which in this case maybe was good. You're thinking about chocolate-covered peanuts or something like that. And it might also be shinier. So those might have been some reasons to use paraffin. Should we do that now? Well, it may be okay if you can find food-grade paraffin, but that might be difficult to do. Remember, at least in the past, and I'm not sure about that food-grade, but paraffin was made of petroleum products, something we usually don't want to eat. Also, in my research, I found that, oh, man, you absolutely shouldn't eat that paraffin because it will cause cancer. Well, I'm thinking that if you had a couple of pieces of candy with, a teaspoon of paraffin in the whole batch, that probably is not going to cause any bad health results. So, use a little, I don't even say common sense anymore because I don't believe there is such a thing as common sense. But there's the background of paraffin and candy. So looking back at some other recipes, and by the way, recipes, originally the first recipes that we know about were on the walls in the tombs in Egypt, the kings and so on. They were probably the foods that they thought they wanted to have in the afterlife. And so that was about 4,000 years ago. Sometime in there, recipes did begin to be put down on paper. It might even have been in a poem. They then maybe started to be copied, but they, again, were just for the elite or the professionals. They were not for common, ordinary folks. So it was a while before we started getting recipes that actually went into cookbooks, recipe books, and even then, there was not the agreement about how you put down what the ingredients were going to be. Measurements were somewhat different. And I know I have from time to time, I have people say, well, I wanted to use my grandma's recipe, and she did write it down for me, but it was really hard work for her because she measured the flour in handfuls, and the resulting, this was especially true in bread, I think, it was a matter of how it felt and how it looked, not the amount of what you put into it. So it was a little difficult to pass on those kinds of recipes. But even using the regular cups, spoons, and so on, that didn't come along for a while later. It used to be you might use a pinch of this, and that could equal maybe an eighth of a teaspoon, but kind of depended on your pinch. What about a salt spoonful? If a recipe called for a salt spoonful of seasoning, it was about a fourth of a teaspoon. A tumbler was 6 to 8 ounces. How about, I love this one, a goose egg of butter. And that probably was about a fourth of a cup. Or maybe butter the size of a walnut. And that was likely about a tablespoon. Or maybe a hazelnut size of butter. That probably was a teaspoon. Now, here's one that's not as old as these others I just mentioned. But have you seen any recipes lately that called for oleo? No, probably not. It will say margarine, not oleo. And some time along the way, there probably were some instructions given to use paraffin paper. We were talking about paraffin. Well, paraffin paper is waxed paper. What about temperatures? How do you know? Because the recipe might have said, the instructions might have said, put this in a slow oven, put this in a moderately hot oven. What temperatures were those? Well, some folks have researched that and decided what that should be. And, you know, if you look at our recipes of today, we can probably kind of figure that out, depending on what, is it a cake we're baking, bread, cookies, whatever. A slow oven might have been 300 to 325. A moderate hot oven, 325 to 375. But that's still a pretty big range. And that reminds me that I was told, this was really when, either before I was born and or when I was a very small child, that my mother made angel food cakes and baked them in an oven that was fired, the stove was fired with cobs. Now tell me how she knew how hot that oven was to come out with a nice enough product that she sold them to other people. That took lots of experience from growing up. And moving on from there, I found in my stack of books, remember that I had a book called Foods and Homemaking. It was published in 1937. And it starts out at the beginning, there are a couple of pages that's to the pupil, the rest of it's to the teacher, and says, you know, look at those lives of women who did great service to their countries, who became very well-known, such as Jane Addams of Hull House, women who started colleges and so on, and says that service in their homes helped prepare them for a large service in the world. And you'll think, really old-fashioned when I read from this, what is a worthy home member? A father and a mother cannot do all there is to do to make a successful home. Of what use is it for mother to keep the house clean and father to keep the yard in order if someone in the home clutters them up? Even if mother speaks no harsh word, can there be peace in a home if some member of the family begins to find fault or quarrel? Every girl, every boy will find it well worthwhile to do his share in the home. And then it goes on to talk about why should courtesy begin in the home and how that is thoughtful and helps keep peace in the home as well as outside the home. Well, another part of this book that I found really interesting, because we're still doing this, was showing pictures of white mice. They're used for research because white mice kind of, their use of food and digestion and so on is somewhat similar to humans, but of course they don't live nearly as long. And the first pictures show some really healthy-looking mice compared to some that aren't so healthy, and they say, two of these white rats have plump bodies, soft fur, and bright eyes, and they frisk around and act happy. The other two are smaller. Their fur is bristly. Their eyes are dull, and if anyone touches them, they snap and snarl. This is in a chapter related to breakfast. We're still being told how good breakfast is with it, but I think those words really tell us how important it is. And later in the book, it has pictures again of not only the live ones, but the skeletons of those white mice that show this is what happens when you don't have enough calcium. In terms of the recipes, many of them are very much the same as we would use today. It doesn't include some things that we would have in our recipe books. But one of the ones that I found interesting that's a bit different, we use hamburger, round meat, so much. And this recipe is for chopped meat cakes. And I'm thinking that's what we would call a hamburger. And it says to buy a certain cut of meat, have it chopped or ground by your butcher. A reputable butcher can depend on, you can depend on him to chop the cut of meat that you order. And it will be easier for him to do it than it would for you. So then you shape the pound of beef along with some water and salt and pepper to make hamburgers. And it goes on to say you could use the same technique if you wanted to make meatloaf. So that's different 1937 than what we would expect now. So just kind of fun to look back, to think about how some things have changed. Some of the information in the book is very good, very up-to-date, very usable, but some of it certainly has changed. So great fun. Hope you've been enjoying some good eating and perhaps some good baking and cooking. And until next time, here's a thought. Regretting is a useless occupation.